Well, welcome everyone. We are here with Kara. We just talked about this 5 seconds ago. We're going to start with a nice mezcal cheers so you can try it.
Cheers.
Now you'll know for sure if you've had it or not.
Okay. Ooh, that's really good.
Right?
Yeah.
We're like the ambassadors of mezcal. We're trying to make everyone have it because it's just we love it.
I mean, like even walking in here, like literally a minute ago, I was saying to you, I was just like, wow, you're selling it so well. I'm probably going to buy a bottle after this episode. Like,
and it's just, I already told you where they sell it. So yeah.
I'm like, do you work for this company?
Like, I wish. I mean, it could be so easy. You can just give us a call.
Yeah. I think I have had it before. That smoky flavor. Yes, I have. I just probably didn't know what someone had handed me. It's delicious. I've never had anything that good.
Okay. Yeah. Because we did have we've had other mezcales that they sell around here and they were shitty. Once we found the ones that we drank or you can find in Mexico, we were yes.
Nice.
Like we got it.
Nice.
So how are you?
I'm good. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Just living life, doing the music thing, you know, hustling.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
You were talking a few minutes ago off camera that you are, am I able to say this? That you're recording?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
I was maybe I'm going to screw up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're recording right now new music.
Yes.
How did you decide that you were ready to record whatever it is that you're doing now?
I have been writing. So I started playing music pretty late in life and writing pretty late and stuff. Mm-hmm. But in that time, I've really hit the ground running and have written so many songs. And over the years, it's kind of for the first several years of me starting out in music, it's that catch-22 of need music and content, but also need funding to do it. And I've kind of been stuck in that a lot. I have put out, a couple of EPs, but I still have so many more songs. And so, I'm pretty new to Vancouver. I'm born and raised in the suburbs, but I lived in Victoria for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And then I just came back here about a year ago now. And in that time I've been meeting so many musicians and, you know, playing all these songs live with people. And then, it just so happens I moved into a suite right below my now producer. Yeah. So we've become really good friends, like me, him, his wife, their dog. Oh my God, so cute. It's all really there have been people that have been excited about the songs, it seems, which is so lovely and who have been wanting to play with me because I've always dreamed of having a band. And then also Andy obviously started hearing some of my songs as well as I've been kind of such a close neighbor. Mm. And so people have been excited and he just got a new studio space. And when he was moving in there, he was like, well, we should record one song together, see how it goes. Cause he's like, I like what you're writing right now. It's
nice.
Right up my alley. And he's like, and if you have fun, then we'll do more. And then it was such a blast. We did the one song just as a one-off. And then I stopped to save up some money because I was like, okay, I want to do a lot more of this. So then I just I was like, oh my God. I have so many songs that I've never recorded over the years, but also I just keep writing. I have a lot that I'm still currently writing. And between those two, I've just been kind of trying to decide which ones should go in. And yeah, that's pretty much where we're at right now. So
nice.
Yeah, super fun.
And then I actually wanted to ask you about the songs that you've been releasing since 2020. So they all amounted to one EP. Is it, it's five or six songs?
Four songs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, I have. Well, there's another EP from years ago.
Maybe.
So maybe that's why. Yeah.
I'm questioning you as if I would know. Are you sure? Cause I'm pretty sure I counted more.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Okay. So, and then you have the song, which is not on there, but I saw a YouTube video of you singing it, which is 1956.
Yes.
Is this one is it, did you write the song about around the same time you wrote these songs that are on Spotify or is it the new,
It is actually, that is, I don't know if I should be, I don't, I'm pretty open. Sometimes I'm like, should I be like keeping secrets? I don't know, but I don't know. Okay. I'm not signed to anything, so I can do what I want. Yeah. But yeah so, exactly. Yeah, so I, 1956 is going to be on this new album, mm-hmm. but it was not written at the same time as those other songs.
Okay.
But I would say like that song would easily be like a natural, like, I think people would not be very surprised to go from like that EP to like hearing 1956. They'd be like, oh, that seems like a natural progression.
Yeah.
But it is funny because I love like all styles of music. Like I'm just really music obsessed and I love writing and I love challenging myself to try and write in different styles. So like the first EP that I put out is very like, it was my first year of playing. So it, I started out with kind of more like folky, like country. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into the second EP, which is the one you're talking about. And that was more my, I started learning some jazzier chords on guitar. So I started trying to write with those. And I guess it came out sound, it's pretty like, I think it's, I don't even know. I would say it's,
it goes really well with your voice.
Thanks.
Like it paired like perfectly. Like
thank
all
you.
The songs are just like,
very smooth.
Yeah, like, very yeah, smooth thanks. And like chilled and it's just yeah. like very like relaxing.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
Thank
it's
you.
Lovely. Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Lovely. You have a lovely, lovely, like amazing voice.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm, I love singing too. But yeah, so that was kind of, it's just so funny because I feel like I go through like stages. It's probably just depending on where I'm living geographically, what's going on. And in that stage, I was feeling very like smooth and like, like kind of very feminine and like pretty and romantic. And there's a lot of that going on when I wrote those songs. But now, even though 1956 is going to be on this album is very different, the one that I'm doing now. And it's like, there's some like straight, like heavy punk songs on it.
Oh, wow.
Super heavy, like rock, like heavy rock, like dark, like I would say super grunge influenced, like 90s grunge,
nice.
Rock and roll, and then like some punk. And then I do still have some kind of slower ballads, but they've still got a darkness to them the way that we're kind of, you know, recording them and producing. So, yeah, no, 1956 was written, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago now, my first trip to Nashville. And I just went down to like check it out, meet some people. And I had one writing session booked with some people down there who have now become like friends, like good friends. We had our session booked and it ended up being the day after Roe v. Wade was overturned. So that's why like, yeah, like I walked into the room and they're like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, oh.
That's so awesome. I actually wanted to ask you like, why, why did you choose to write like like that kind of music? Cause I know, I understand like some people, I don't know if I'm going to phrase this correctly, but like music is like apolitical, you know, but it can have like so much power enough to like make political statements. And I know that might be like contradiction, but you know, like it can, it has like so much like force in it that it can actually make a political movement or a political statement like so, or give it that like extra that movement might need. And so I understand why people sometimes just don't, you know, decide to write about maybe something that could be very controversial, which in this case shouldn't really be controversial. Like the lyrics is like pretty like, yeah, it's my body. It's,
yeah,
you know,
I know.
But yeah, I found it really cool
that
you wrote a song like that.
Thank you. Yeah.
And it's very like touching and like
thanks.
Empowering and like,
thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a co-write with, Crystal Lee. She's in Nashville, and Ezra Jordan. It's funny because they're both Canadian, but they both live in Nashville now. So,
oh, okay.
So yeah, we wrote and it was like that was my first, one of my first like kind of official, I would say like co-writing sessions. Like I think it's a big scene down there and it's not as much of a scene up here for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's
going to change. We're going
to
change.
Would love to be writing with other artists. It's so fun. But yeah, so that was, and obviously the reason I just remember like the day that Roe v. Wade was overturned, I was just like, I felt so angry, you know, and I just remember kind of like picking up my phone. I was in an Airbnb down there and picking up my phone and just kind of like, I do, like, sometimes when I'm thinking of like a song idea or whatever, I just started like, it was basically like journaling. Like I was just like, mah, 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 like all this is like this big long paragraph of all my thoughts. And then when I went into the writing session and they were like, yeah, like what's on your mind? And I was like, I mean, honestly, yeah. And I just kind of like, I didn't read it. Cause I, some of it, I was like, oh, I don't really like. It's pretty like poorly worded. And like, you know what I mean?
I was it's just like, angry. Like,
yeah. I was just like, yeah, this is not meant to be like seen publicly, but I did kind of tell them that that was, I was like, yeah, I'm just, I don't know. I think the main thing that I ended up kind of writing in that I remember bringing to them and saying, it was like, I kind of said, I was like, I've always said that in music, like, I don't want to get into like politics or whatever, but I was like,
I want to say something.
Yeah. But not even just that. I was like, I'm so angry. Like there's so many things that go on these days that I find really unfair and, just, yeah, like not, yeah, I don't know.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
And like
just like really heartbreaking.
Making you feel like hopeless.
Yeah. And so, and that was just like really pushed my buttons. And I was like, yeah, I've always said, I don't want to touch on anything like political, whatever. But I was like, first of all, this shouldn't even be. But second of all, I was like, I kind of just, the way I feel right now is that I like, cause you know how there's this very like right wing kind of like super extremist points of view.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to sing for those people. Like, I don't even want to, I kind of like, that's how I felt in the moment when I was really angry. I was like, they shouldn't have the privilege of being able to be like, oh, like, but you know, love and accept everyone. And yeah, like, we're just not going to talk about it and let us into your, and it's like, no, because you're not accepting of other people, but then, you know, so that's how I felt in that moment. And I was so angry and I was like, I just want to like figure out how to word that properly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up writing, that song. And it's funny because I can be, especially with the new music that I'm recording right now, when it comes out, people will, some of my newer writing is very on the nose. Like I don't really beat around the bush with anything. It's like pretty, especially like getting more into like punk and rock. I'm just like,
yeah,
it's kind of fun. And that was kind of my headspace in that. I was just like, I kept saying, I kept like throwing out these lines. And then I think it was Ezra who was like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of being like, so in your face. Like I like to have some subtleties. Mm-hmm. So, which was, ended up being really, like, I remember it was kind of love. Like if I had written that song on my own, it probably would have turned out very different, probably a different genre. Like, you know, it probably would have been more like aggressive, but that's what I love about a co-write is it's like, he was like, okay, like rein it in, Kara.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. And then but it still gets the message across and there is that subtlety. And I just think it's really cool to see like, yeah, like you can hear like, and like Crystal too. I can just hear the lines that you're like, oh, that's such a Crystal line. That's such an Ezra influence.
Ooh,
so it was really fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like it has like a very, just a very good hook.
Thank you.
Like, cause it, when it starts, like, is this a Friday or is this 1956? You're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. What? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like you sort of get it. You sort of know where it's heading.
Yeah.
And then as you continue to listen to the song, you're like, oh yeah. Yeah. Is this a Friday or is this 1956? Yeah. What the hell?
Like what year is this? Like what is happening?
Why are we having this conversation? Why are you telling me to? So I get it. It's like, which is kind of weird. Cause like the song is pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it has like that, power ability to sort of fire you up and be like, what is this?
Good. That's what I wanted. That was the goal.
Yeah, nice. So I guess like your incisiveness can sort of, you know, you can see it like
that's,
in the song.
That's my influence. They were like, okay, so now I know. Like rein it in. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. So now I know like, why you get like that fire, like when you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So it's a really cool song.
Thank you.
I am very much into like political like music or like political statements kind of like music.
Mm-hmm.
I also like music that is just, you know, like
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or that talks about like, you know, other emotions that are not necessarily, you know, like something political or rebellious or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of nice. Cause I feel like I was like, oh, I dig this chick.
Yay, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Not to say that I don't like people that don't.
You know? Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I it's love, just, yeah, this, I just probably, it seems like you're obviously a huge music fan as well. So
yeah, like I yeah. like to, yeah, I just mm-hmm. like to listen to everything. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just like also depending on my mood mm-hmm. or like whatever I'm going through or whatever I see, like, that I get like more fired up,
yeah,
and try to like maybe feed that feeling a little bit more,
yeah,
you know, like because it's yeah. like, yeah, I'm really mad right now, so I'm just gonna listen to like these really, you know, like angry songs, or not angry, but like really, like, you know, that fire you up and like powerful kind of motivating music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so you have this song now that's gonna be part of this EP. Was that the song that you recorded, the first song that you recorded with Andy, or was that like?
No, it wasn't. And actually it's a full album too, which I'm like excited about.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I got so addicted, and then I was like, okay, well now what, it was started as an EP mm-hmm. and then I was like, oh, I kind of want to add like these two songs. And then once I added, or no, three songs. And then I was like, okay. But I kind of, when I was coming to recording, I like, this is how I think about my sets a lot. When I play live, a lot of times I try to like think of how it flows and like, you know, I'm just like, and I like to have variety in my sets if I can, like, you know, I try to think like, okay, am I playing a lot of songs that sound all the same? And then the whole set's going to sound the same. Like, okay, I try to, you know? And so once I added the other three on top of the first original five songs, I was like, ah, but I feel like it's like kind of now the flow's messed up. Now, like the first five would have been a great flow. I could have left it at that, but then I was like excited to add the other three. And then I was like, oh, but the flow.
It needs like a connection.
So now I was like, we need these other two songs. So now it's going to be a 10 song album, which I'm really excited about.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was like, I got to cut myself off. Like, nope. Can't.
I mean, you can still write, I guess. Oh, like you can just like.
Yeah, but just, I just gotta like get out of that. I gotta leave the studio at some point. So
yeah,
And
are you just writing in the studio? Like, is that your go-to place to write?
No, I haven't done that yet. I've never really written in studio, just because studio time costs, right?
So
I just write in my house for the most part, or like I get ideas when I'm like walking around and stuff or whatever. Yeah. But when I do my actual writing, I like sit down in my house and I get my guitar out and stuff. But sorry, to answer your question, oh God, I can get off the rails sometimes.
It's fine.
Rein me in. The first song I wrote was not 1956. Or sorry, the first song we recorded was not 1956. It was a song that has not been released in a live version or anything. It's called Make Out With My Ex.
Nice.
It's just a ridiculous, like, it's a ridiculous song. And that was the first kind of like my foray into like punk and just like rock and just like writing ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
So that was the first one that we did. And then, yeah, we've continued from there. So,
and I saw a video of you getting into drums. You were playing Green Day's.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, how's that going? Are you still playing drums? Like, are you still practicing? Or?
I had to take a break. It's been about, I'm so sad. I love playing drums. I just like got really obsessed over the summer, but then I just got so.
Because it gets really like,
it's so you can just fun. Do, like, yeah. And like, I'm brand new. Like, I took some lessons over the summer. That's the first time I've ever even tried to play drums. Like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just like having I've always been really obsessed with drums. Like anytime I go to a show, I'm always like, just the drummer can lit. I could go to a show of just drums and be like, this beat, like, you know, let's move. So I've always been super obsessed with drums and I've always wanted to be I've always been like, I want to play. I feel like I'm like made to be, it's like in my bones, you know?
Yeah.
And then this summer I was like, oh, I've got a bit of time. Like, why don't I take drum lessons? And so I did. And then I got a rehearsal space as well. Like I went in, started going in on a jam room with some other musicians. And the last couple months I've had to take a step back, just like once I started recording the album, basically it was like, I just started getting so busy between that and like some other stuff. So I haven't played in a little while. I know I was just thinking that I was like, I want to jam again soon.
Like,
so
I should probably get back to it.
Yeah. It's, there's no real like goal with it. It's just an obsession. It's super fun. It's like kind of nice to do something that's so different from what I do that like is like within the realm of my career, you know, of me being like, hey, like this is what I do for, you know, that I'm trying to make like a full-time, I want to do it like lifelong. And then this is just like, I don't know, just to like mess around. There's no like stress attached to it. It's like, there's no pressure. I'm not putting pressure on myself to be like, you gotta like play in a band or whatever. It's
I mean, that's also, I feel like a lot, I'm not sure if it's like how all musicians feel, but there's a, like a fair amount of musicians, like really, you know, big rock stars right now that just started off like, I just love it. And I just want to, fuck around with drums and that's it. Like nothing particularly like, because I want to be on a stage.
No.
And that stage and, you know, whatever time and whatever.
No. I mean,
who knows?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't write, like, I would love to be able to play in a band or like at a show. Honestly, it'd be super fun. Once I started playing, I was like, this would be really fun to get good enough that I could like play my own for like a song, you know, hop on drums and sing at the same time. Like, but I mean, we're just baby steps. I'm getting ahead of myself. So, I mean, yeah, I would not rule that. I just think it'd be so fun. And like I said, just really no stress attached to it. I think sometimes I can stress myself out with my own project, but with that, it's just like, I'm openly telling everyone that I have no idea what I'm doing. Like, it's just, there's nothing, there's no pressure here. Like, I'm just messing around. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Super fun.
You play guitar, but, when did you start playing guitar? Cause you mentioned, you started a bit like later in life with like music.
Yeah. So
what does later mean? Cause I still feel like then it's like, oh, you know, I was whatever year. And I'm like, well, that's not that late.
Well, I didn't start playing until I was like 27. Like, that's when I started learning. Okay, you're like, oh shit.
Not to that age is late.
Yeah. Oh my God. Good luck.
No, I mean, I actually asked because I'm curious because I've never played.
Yeah.
I've tried to play guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm 36. So I'm like, is it like, am I still in, you know, in a good time to start playing?
I mean,
so if you start at 27, it's like, I know it's 10 years later, but you're like,
it's not. Yeah. I mean, I'm 35. So we're like same age. But I'm just like such a sucker for the arts, and like someone pursuing something that they love, I'm just like, do it.
It's
never too late. And so I mean, same as you, I'd kind of like picked it up. I took, when I was really, really young, my parents put me in lessons, but I was like the worst student back then. I just didn't have
the attention span.
No. When I was a kid, I was like hyper. I would just go to my lessons and like try and like, literally, I would try and like tell jokes and mess around with my teacher to distract them from the fact that I'd like, he'd be like, do you practice? And I'd be like, oh, look at this funny face that I'm like making, just like, oh, don't ask me, you know? Yeah. So I was really a horrible student. Over the years, as I got a bit older, I would be like, okay, I want to try. And then I'd find it really hard. I get really frustrated. But then it was when I was like, I've just had a bit of a weird journey. I've always loved the arts. Being a musician has always been my dream, but it never seemed like, I don't know. It didn't feel like a real possibility. Like, I don't come from a family of artists, and you know, like in the neighborhood I grew up in, not a lot of people went on to do that. And so, and even, you know, when you talk about something when you're younger, people will be like, oh yeah, sure. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a crate to be like, yeah, I want to like be a, people like, okay, it's so hard or whatever. So I just, let that get to me too much probably. So I spent a lot of years like, just doing other stuff. Like, I went to theater school straight out of high school, but then was too nervous to really pursue it. So I just kind of didn't do anything with that. And then after that, that's where I was like, oh, what am I doing with my life? So I went to university in Victoria, for nothing to do with music or anything. And it's like, yeah, it's so unrelated. People are always like, oh, weird.
What did you go to university for?
French literature. I know. That's what I mean. Everyone's just like, that's so weird.
Like, what? Why?
Exactly. Okay, honestly, because again, like, this is so indicative of the fact that I was not into university or anything it was going to lead to. But like, I spent 3 years in like general studies, undecided on my major in university. And looking back now, it's like, yeah, obviously you weren't that into it. And I was more into like joining all the clubs and like meeting people. And like, that's what I loved. Yeah. And like going to shows and like, you know, local shows and stuff. And so, Yeah. And then in my fourth year, I was like, oh my God, if I don't pick a major, I'm never going to graduate. And then I was like, I can't quit because then I'm a failure. Like, it's insane behavior. But then I took a French class and I aced it effortlessly. And I was like, great, I can do that, because I had grown up going, like, I was in French immersion. I speak and stuff. So okay. I was just like, great, I can do this with very little commitment and continue to go to shows. And like, you know, I had a lot of friends in university that I made who played music. So like, we would just go to open mic nights and I would sing and they would play guitar or whatever. Like, and so like, I can keep doing that and just like, not really have to think about my classes very much. So yeah, that's what I did. And then when I graduated, that's when reality like kind of kicked in and everyone's like, what are you going to do? And I was like, ugh. Like,
speak French.
It's literally like become a teacher, which I don't know why teaching to me just seems like, I don't know why it just seems like, I think it's always been like my, like, oh, that's my backup plan. And so anytime, it's just not exciting. It's like, oh, if I become a teacher, it means I've like given up on my dreams. So there's that. Or it was like work in government, basically. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. And so I think I spent like a couple years kind of trying to play really small shows in Victoria, but I still didn't play guitar then. So I was working with like a couple of random guitar players that I kind of met, but I had a lot of ideas that I had trouble communicating. So I was like, I think I need to learn an instrument so I can like speak to these instrumentalists. And then also it was hard to find people who were as committed or as serious, or, you know, there's kind of issues there. So I was like, I think I just like need to learn how to play guitar care. Like, you need to have the attention span. So I did this crazy thing where I booked myself a gig at, it was Earl's downtown Victoria. And yeah. And then I did it 6 months in advance. And then I was like, you have 6 months to learn how to play. Like, yeah, a couple sets. I think it was like two like 45 minute sets or something like that. And I was like, you have 6 months, Carrie, you better like learn how to do this. And, it was terrifying. And I really don't think I knew how to play very well at all. I'm always like, God, I gotta get better at guitar. So it's like, I hope there's no footage of that out there, but I think luckily, because I've been singing like an obsessive person my whole life, not in public or anything, but just like obsessively at home, I think my voice would always kind of like carry me. So like, they were like, you are so good. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then I was just like playing guitar so quiet and just like, oh, but listen to my voice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So that's kind of how I started. And it was very late. So I've been playing now. It's been, what, I was 27 and I'm 30. So yeah, it's been like 8 years now. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. I just kind of hit the ground running really hard.
When did you discover that you could sing? Because it's not like you sort of sing. It's like you sing.
Singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's like you have, and also because like, the thing is like, I heard you play once at Guild.
Yeah.
Because the thing is like, because I'm at the door sometimes, I can't really like listen correctly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm like indoors, but the time I was listening that you played, it was like very chill, like your style of like that second EP. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, I guess like, yeah, like you can tell it's like, oh, very melodic and like nice and like jazzy kind of raspy voice. Mm-hmm. I feel like when I heard you sing this very, like a few weeks ago, a month ago with Karina.
Oh yes. I sang backups with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun. Yeah.
And then you had like this moment when I think that day I was serving. So both of you were just like, yeah, you were so like, much. And so for example, like Karina has a really big voice, like a big, big voice,
yeah.
But she's used to, I feel like she usually sings more like, mm-hmm. I don't know, she kind of contains it. Like she sings like electropop. So she kind of like does like this, I don't know how to explain, like a contained, like big voice, but contained.
Yeah.
But that moment you were both like, and I think you have a video on it.
Oh, on my Instagram. Yes.
Yes. And you're both just like, I'm not even going to pretend that because it would be very embarrassing. But yeah, you're both just like,
yeah.
I was like, wow. Oh, like thanks. Big voices. Yeah. Like amazing.
That was so fun. I mean, that's what I mean. Like, I'm so obsessed with like every, like almost every genre of music. I'm just like, yes. And I think what's really fun vocally for me is like, I love like, ooh, how can I make my voice sound? Like, how can I get into this feeling and this emotion. And that was, that's just a totally different style of music. And I love belting. I love going loud and hard. And I do that at home all the time. Like I listen to stuff like that. I grew up, I think one of my big influences growing up was like Celine Dion. Like I just remember trying to like learn her like through and through. So that was just, it's just so fun to be able to be, even though I don't really write music like that, I haven't yet, I would still love it. Some of my writing I find is just like restricted by what I can play on guitar, to be honest, because I'm still so new to like to that. Okay. So that's kind of why I think my sound shifts all the time. It's like, as I learn new things on guitar, I'm like, ooh, that's how can I put this into a song? What can I do with this? Yeah. And that's kind of, so maybe at some point I'll start writing that kind of stuff. I have no idea, but so fun to sing. And yeah, when did I figure out?
Cause it's one thing to learn like, or like obsess over, you know, a specific sound and try to like imitate it. But it like I can obsess over it. It's not going to sound well.
Like really obsessed. Like, I mean, we're talking like like most of my life I've been singing. Like, that's what I mean. Like, boy, you just gotta, when I say obsessed, I mean like you don't really, like I still sing like 24/7, like at home. Yeah. It's like, I just told my friend, I had a new roommate move in and I was like, okay, so like, just so you know, I will be like, obviously I'm not going to like belt it late at night. And I try to save that kind of stuff for like when she goes out or whatever. Yeah. But I was like, yeah, like I am going to be singing, you know, like, even just under my breath and stuff. And it's like, and she's totally cool with it. Nice. And I've been lucky to have, for the most part, my roommates are like musical themselves or they just love music.
Okay, cool.
But
still, how were you like, well, this actually sounds like good. Well, I could actually do this.
Like, I've been singing my whole, like I said, like my first memory in life, the first thing I ever remember is me singing at the top of my lungs. I must've been like 2 or 3. And I was holding my parents' hands. It was like nighttime. And I think we were just walking around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like belting out like Christmas carols, you know, like I've always just, and at that point I was a child. So like, I think I've just been doing that forever. I wasn't thinking like, does this sound good? I was just being like, I love this. And then my mom really encouraged me. She was always like, keep singing. I remember when I got into elementary school, because I was always singing like under my breath, you know, kids would get annoyed and they would be like, shut up. Like, and then I would go home and be sad and tell my mom and she'd be like, don't shut up ever. Like she heard, she was just like, I hear something good in there. Keep, and it was really nice of her. Yeah. She was just like, don't listen to them. Like, you just keep being you, like you keep singing if you want to sing, like da da da, all this stuff. So she really encouraged it. And I like really am so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I don't know. I just was like, from day one, she says, like, she's like, you literally, when you were like so young, she's like, I just noticed right away that you were like kind of almost like singing. And it's just kind of, yeah. And then as I got a bit older, I think I remember the first artist that I ever obsessed over that was not like a children's artist or like Christmas carols or whatever was, at this point I must've been like 5 or 6, and my mom, I think it was my mom, gifted me just like a tape of Elton John. He had an album out. It was like the one he'd just put out that year, I think. And it was like an early 90s album called Made in England. I still love that album.
Great.
Yeah. And I just was like, oh, like what's this? And put it in. And I was like, oh. And like, I learned.
This is awesome.
Yeah. And I, even back then, I remember I was like 5 or 6 years old and I just remember sitting on the couch and they had like the, you know, the cover, how you can like open it and there's like different, like pictures or whatever. Mm-hmm. He had the lyrics to every song in the cover of that tape. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting and I was so young and I learned every single lyric and every single, like I would just listen and try and mimic him perfectly. So I would like rewind and like if there was a part where he kind of went like, I don't know, like, oh, or like, or, oh, it was probably simpler back then, but like something where he's like, oh, and I was like, I'd be like, wait, what did he do? Like, I can, you know, I could do the long notes or whatever back then. And so I would rewind and then be like, and then I would just keep rewinding and then be like, oh, and like slow it down. And then until I could do it faster. And so I just did that with like every artist I obsessed over my whole life. Yeah. It was really weird. I don't know.
I mean, I mean, I don't know if it's weird, but like it's, or it's a cool weird.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's pretty amazing. Like, like to not have a attention span young enough to like maybe do something that you didn't know you were going to like later.
Yeah.
But somehow when you discover that you did like something, yeah, you were like hyper focused.
Yes. On, yeah, the singing. Like,
so it's like, yeah, now you have this, you know, big voice and, yeah, like, thanks. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I think with singing, the difference too was like, you don't really have to sit still. You can be walking around and singing, right?
Yeah.
And like with guitar, it was like, you got to sit down and like, just like you got to
push through.
Yeah. You know, whereas like with singing, I was just like, you're just like, la, like, you, yeah, know what I mean? Yeah. You can just be like, no, 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 and doing your thing. So I think that was probably what kept me, you know, entertained the whole time as I kept doing this. But yeah, I've just always been singing and I love it so much.
So do you have like a specific, I don't know, like steps you take before you start recording, like for the songs that,
yeah,
of your second EP, like did you do something in particular, like, okay, I'm gonna come in then like have a tea before or something like that, or just like, I'm just gonna come in, yeah, just like, yeah,
pretty much, yeah. No, I don't really have any like routines really, and I mean, I just, yeah, I feel like for me, like just waking myself up, I have a coffee every morning and then I eat something. And I usually find that once I've done that, it, like, I don't know, something about just like, it kind of, then I'm like, it wakes my body up. And so then I think my voice also wakes up with my body, right? I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm a little more alert. Mm-hmm. And then usually that's kind of like good to go. Sometimes I do find the biggest thing is like, if I'm really, really stressed, if there's a lot of stress in my life or like really sleep deprived, then I'll be like, oh, I just feel a little like, not as loose, not quite as, and a lot of times other people can't hear it, but I can feel it. And I just know, I'm like, ah, it's not like, it just doesn't feel as relaxed. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, I will like try really hard to relax myself. If I'm really stressed, just be like, oh, calm down, Kara. Like chill, like really hard to relax myself. You know, I will do a vocal warm up then, cause I don't always do a vocal warm up, but like in those cases I will, I'll be like, okay, I'm going to like go through all this steps and hopefully that'll kind of like, you know, relax me and get my voice a little bit more. And throat coat tea. I don't know if you know throat coat tea, but it's like bee's knees. No. Yeah. And that's like, it's so good. Like, I swear that stuff is like magic. It's like a herbal, I don't even know. It's like one of those medicinal teas, you know?
Yeah.
And it says throat coat on it. It's supposed to be for like, if you have a cold, but like lot of singers use it. It's yeah.
To feel a little bit more like, I don't know. Yeah. Protected or.
Yeah. It just
like warmed up.
It really does like just loosen things up in there and you're like, oh, weird. Like, yeah. Okay. This actually works. Cause there's so many things people have recommended over the years and you're like, ah, I just need sleep. Like I just need sleep.
I mean, sometimes it does come to that. Like sleep is like very important in general.
Yes.
So yeah, I guess like, it does make sense also that you're like, if I don't sleep well, then I'm like, not feeling great.
Yeah. Just, so, yeah. It affects everything. So
physically you're just like, no.
Yeah. And then your voice is just like, I'm also very stressed. Yeah. You're like, no.
I have a show. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
Feel like fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, no like specific like routine but just kind of on a day-to-day basis. If there is a day where I feel a little like, those are some of the things I'll try.
What about for writing? Do you have something like when you, like, cause you mentioned that like you sort of opened like the Pandora box.
Yeah.
So has that been like slowly starting to build into a routine, or has it still been more like, I just write whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want? Or do you kind of have a structure sometimes?
I think I just started to try to practice it. I started to think of it as like, this is something you also need to practice. So like in the first few years of playing and like learning to play guitar while also trying to write, I was really sporadic with my writing. I don't remember how often I wrote. Like, I don't know. I would have like maybe a little, and I was also very like precious. I was like, oh, I've got to get everything like perfectly set up and like
mystical.
Yeah. Like it's just like, oh, if like everything is not perfect, then, it's just going to go away. So like, but that was, I think just honestly, I do think for me, that was like just anxiety about getting started. You know what I mean? It's kind of like procrastinating. You're like, oh,
yeah.
It's like, oh, if I don't do this, like, so, cause, yeah. So that was back then. And then over the years, I started to think of it. I think I had a friend who told me, they're like, you gotta, it's the same as anything else. You just gotta practice, like, write as much as possible. And so I don't know when I started doing a lot more writing. I think since that EP, I think even, like, I don't think I was even writing that much back then, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not as often as I do now, for sure. But since then, I think I, like, had a conversation with someone or something, and they were like, yeah, it's just, you just got to practice. And don't try to be so, like, precious with your songs. Like, oh, this song is, like, such a, it's like, just kind of just write. And, it's like anything creative. It's like, just start, and then, like, you can edit from there, or you can throw it away if you decide you don't like it. Like, there's not
everything you write is going to be like,
no.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something super deep or insightful. It's funny, you were saying the political thing, but, like, sometimes I just write songs called Make Out With My Ex that are, like, super fun and ridiculous. And it's like, you don't have to be like,
cause life is also that.
Yeah.
And music is a reflection of whatever you might be going through, whether that be fun, ridiculous, or
like,
not everything is political.
Totally. So. And so then I just started practicing, and I think it's been in the last, like, maybe 3 years or so. And then once I kind of started doing that, it's just like, now I really don't have to, basically, I just need to have a bit of time. Like,
but so you do, like, sort of maybe set aside some time, like, okay, like, maybe, well, like, I have some time now.
Yeah.
So I'll get in, like, writing.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like, if I have, like, an afternoon off or
it's not like you plan it or something. Like, no. I'm going to have this, so I'm going to sit down and, you know.
No, but I get so many ideas for songs now that what I started doing, this is newer too, is, like, in the last year and a bit, I started, like, my phone, I just take out notes. Like, I'll get a song idea and I'll just write at the top song idea, and then I'll write whatever it is. Sometimes it's, like, two words. Sometimes it's a title. Sometimes it's this weird like with 1956, it was like a paragraph,
you know?
So I just write whatever it is that the idea is. And then when I have that time later, I'll be like, what do I want to write about? And if maybe there's something, like, hot on my mind that day, but if I'm kind of like, okay, I've got time and I want to write a new song, like, what do I want to write? I'll just, like, search in my notes, like, song idea. And then all the song ideas come up, and I kind of go through, and I'm like, or is one
this
of these
one
like,
is, yeah.
Like, oh, that's exciting right now, you know? Like,
okay.
Or if none of them, then I kind of try to rack my brain. And
so do you consider that you usually, like, do, like, lyrics first? Like, that's what sort of makes you kind of want to, like, materialize whatever song idea you have? Or is it more like, well, I have an idea.
Yeah.
And so you write down more like, I want this mood, but you don't know what you're going to write exactly until you start, like, you know, strumming the guitar.
I would say, like, I sometimes try to challenge myself to write in ways that aren't really, just to see if something different comes of it. And so sometimes I've never really been a lyrics first person. Like,
okay.
Not really. Like, I might have, like, a line that I think is kind of cool, but, like, not a full set of lyrics. But I would say, like, more often than not, it's like, I bring my guitar out. I just start messing around, just playing. And then I'm like, and I don't even necessarily know what I want the mood of the song to be if I have the subject sometimes. And yeah, it's kind of like a weird snowball effect of, like, I bring the guitar out, I start messing around, and then I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. And then, yeah, like, almost.
You look something to pair with it, and then you're like.
Yeah, okay. Like, almost immediately, like, a melody always comes, like, so fast. As soon as there's something that I think is kind of cool on guitar, like, a melody is, like, oh, it's coming pretty much in tandem. And then, excuse me, sometimes a lot of times as I'm writing, I'll have, like, fake, it's really weird. Like, you know what I mean? Writing, and I'll just be, like, singing gibberish. Like, sometimes it's not even real words, but then, like, one real word pops in.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get attached to that word. So that'll influence my lyrics. I'm like, ooh, I'm like, I don't know, for whatever reason, this word cold. I'm like, ooh, now it's like, that word's got to be there. It just fits, you know? And so then I'll kind of, like, develop my idea around that, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like,
It's just, I think Dave Grohl has done that. Probably maybe like more musicians have done that.
Yeah.
He did it for one of the songs. I can't remember which one. Wasting Light, I think that was the album. Mm-hmm. And he did one of the songs. Like he didn't have like all of the song. I think he was still missing like part of a chorus or something. Yeah. And so he just wanted, like, he knew already what it was going to sound like.
Mm-hmm.
So he went in, I can't remember. I'm just saying this all wrong. Sorry.
No, sorry.
So he started like singing this with someone he had invited. I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
And they just started to like sort of sing gibberish, just like yelling out they had the music, they had the melody and everything. So he was just like, rah, rah, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, okay, I'm going to go out there and like write now the lyrics for that. Cause he already knew what he wanted what he wanted to sound like.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense. Like you're like, cause like you already know what the feeling you want to like sort of project and like what you want the music to reflect and what you want to put out there, what you want to express.
Yeah.
You just don't have the words yet.
Yeah.
So then you put in the word, you fill in the blank.
Yeah. And sometimes it goes that way. It's not always that way, but that's kind of a cool, it's all just very snowball effect. Like what order things kind of happen, it's just kind of a lot of things happen in tandem. Mm. And then you can always go back and edit. I'm not actually, to be honest, I don't really edit that much. I think I kind of edit on the spot a lot of times. Like I'll write something and I just like know pretty quickly what I do and don't like. Okay. So I'll like kind of have an idea and I'm like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like as I'm going, and then usually like more often than not, I'm pretty happy with like, once I finish that song, I'm like, like I think I'm good with that. Like,
nice.
Most of the time, like here and there, I might change a word.
You're maybe like pre-perfectionist. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's like, I don't know. It's just, I kind of do it as I go. Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. But it's very snowball effect. And it's just kind of. Yeah.
And when is this album that you're recording now? Like you have, how many songs do you have recorded now?
Right now we have 8 done. None of them are done yet. We're still tracking for, there's 5 that are like very close to done. Mm-hmm. But like we might still, you know, you start to add little layers, like maybe we'll add a little bit more tambourine or maybe we'll add it's really pretty minor stuff on those 5.
Mm-hmm.
The other 3 are, a little bit less far along. Like I think we still have to add the percussion, like tambourine, and like we have harmonies, the lead, like the structure of the song is there, like the bass, drums, you know, whatever, vocals, harmonies. So like kind of, the overall structure, but all these little like elements,
details,
those were not as far with those 3. And then the other 2 were starting on, what day is it today?
Today. I don't know.
Wednesday,
November 8th. Yeah.
This is service industry people. We're like,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Service industry and musicians. So, and we're just like, Wednesday. So actually on Monday, we go back in and we're going to track drums and bass for the last 2 songs. We're still recording right now. I think the idea is like once we get all of the tracking done, like, you know, percussion, harmonies, everything for every song, then Andy's going to take them and mix them. And he thought it was because he's like just to have them all together and mix them all together. That way they'll come out sounding like cohesive, you know?
Mm-hmm. And maybe, I guess like if you're mixing and then you have like a specific idea for one of the songs and then you're like, oh, I didn't do in the past one and now it's going to be a pain in the ass. Go back to do something that, or whatever. So it just makes sense to have them all.
Yeah. So we're still in that.
I might be wrong. I don't mix, but I guess.
No. You're right. Your intuition is right. You can never start anything too. It's never too late.
Yeah. It's never too late.
Be a producer.
Yeah. Let's see what happens in a year.
Yeah. So then I'm going to be releasing, I haven't officially announced this yet, but I don't really care. I will soon.
Don't tell anybody.
Wait, what?
Don't tell anybody. I'm telling you.
Oh, I thought you were telling me.
breaking the fourth wall. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, right. Yeah.
It's going to be a secret.
Yeah. No, it's really not, because I really want people to come.
Oh, it's just a bad joke.
Yeah, I want people to listen to this music and I want people to come to my single release show. But yeah, I'll be releasing the first song on January 19th and then the single release show will be January 20th. Yeah, so that's
cool.
Yeah, and then it's gonna be like one song at a time, I think, for probably, I don't know, I'm still kind of planning things a little bit, but I think I'm gonna release most of them as singles and then maybe release the last few songs as the full album eventually, right?
But oh, okay, mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah,
nice. So, and are you working, yeah, like, what's the artwork? Are you already like working on the artwork?
Yes, yeah. So I've got an artist, actually they're based in Victoria and just like sick. I actually lived with their sister, years ago in Victoria, and their sister is this insane, like insane singer. Actually, I think she's played Guilt and Coke, 'cause I went to see her there. Yeah, she's come and played at least once, I think. But yeah, really good singer, songwriter, like, you know, artists, like visual artists, like she's got a lot of talents too. But her sibling is, also a visual artist. Nice. And I just checked out their Instagram and I was like, hey, like I'm friends with Felicity and I love your, I felt like it would fit the theme of the music. And so, yeah, they're doing, artwork for every single.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah. And it's like, we've only got one fully done right now, but I'm so excited. Like,
nice.
Yeah. And then they've sent me like sketch ideas for other ones. And I'm just like, yes, everything you're doing is like exactly what I want for these.
How do you like, ask for like artwork? Do you have like a something in your mind, or do you like give them your song so they can like figure something out for that specific song, or
yes,
or do you like, I'm picturing this, like I want this theme, I want these colors, I want,
yeah, it's very collaborative on that front. I basically just looked at their page and was like, I love your art, you know, if you have any interest, would you, you know, and then I sent the songs and then it was like, you know, let me know if you like them and if this is something you'd want to do. And they were like, yeah, they were like, I've got lots of ideas. And so then from there, they sent me some sketches and I was just like, yeah, these are blowing my mind. Like, I think when you source someone out that you know that you're like, you like their style, like, well, I'm just lucky, natural, but you're like probably going to end up with something that you like. Yeah. And so the sketches that they sent, I was like, yeah, this is sick. And then we've had like FaceTime meetings to just kind of hash out those details. Like, what's the color palette for this one? Like, what's, you know, like what do you think of going in this direction with this concept, or you know what I mean? So some of that gets hashed out on like our phone calls and stuff, but that's kind of how. Yeah.
And have you had anyone ask you like musically, more like kind of like source with you, like I want to express this and I like how you write and I like your music, like,
oh,
have you ever had that kind of collaboration
where someone
it's kind of like sourcing you like for a song or something.
As like a song, like a co-writer or something like that. Yeah. Well, actually that is again, something like I would love to be a songwriter for other artists eventually, like super down. Like I know that that's a whole other like business. Right. Mm. And I'd love to be doing that in tandem. So, but I haven't really started kind of pushing hard to get to that yet, 'cause I'm pretty busy doing a lot of other stuff at the moment, but I have had, a couple people reach out like wanting songwriting lessons, or I did have, actually Karina Karma Sounds, reached out and was just like, exactly that. Like she had some songs written that she's like, I just feel like some of the lyrics, I'm like, I just feel like they need some tweaking or something. Mm. And she was just like, would you be down to come? And so we've done a couple sessions like that where,
oh, cool.
Yeah. And that was really fun. It was like,
yeah, I feel like you vibe together. Like really.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a good time doing that. And like, just, totally different style of music. also a different style of writing from what I do. So it's kind of fun to like get in that headspace and like,
pick on someone else's brain. How does your brain work?
Exactly. So yeah, I've done some of that. Not a ton yet, but I would love to be doing more of it. Eventually I'm just still trying to figure everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
So you have your first song releasing January 19th.
Yeah.
Are you going to do like a listening party, or are you, how is the release going to be? Or is it just going to be like not planned yet, just going to release it and just be like,
No. I am trying to like, I want to promote these songs as much as possible because I'm really excited about them. Mm. So I'm doing all of that planning right now. There's going to be a single release show, a listening party as well is something I have thought of. I haven't really figured out. I probably wouldn't do that until I'm literally figuring this out right now as we speak. Like I don't know for sure, but I'm just thinking, a listening party probably wouldn't happen until closer to when I start releasing all of the songs. Like, because it wouldn't, I don't want to get everyone together and be like, here's one song.
This is
the first single and just like, okay, bye. Like, so I'll probably wait until, you know, when I'm getting ready to start, like I'll do single. And then once I get to like, okay, there's this batch that I'm going to start releasing now. And then it's going to be the full album release. That's probably around the time I would start planning like a listening party.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But yeah. It's something I definitely want to do. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Not that I want to be invited.
But oh, okay.
Like maybe.
No, you're invited. Okay. You're
right. Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. So yeah, nice. You have already then like not all planned out, but like almost everything for your album. Do you have the name of it? You don't have to say it. That can be a secret, I guess.
Yeah, I might keep that.
Or are you still like thinking of?
Well, it's so funny. I'm like, wait, I haven't really given that much thought. I'm pretty sure I've got a name for it, but because I haven't thought about it a lot, I just want to be like fully sure that
is that really the name?
I'm pretty sure I've got the name for it.
Nice.
But I'm just gonna, before I like say that.
Yeah, don't say it.
I don't know for sure yet.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I've got a name. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're very excited to listen to it once.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard that one song, 1956, which is amazing.
Thanks.
And I'm really looking forward to, listen to whatever you drop next.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have any, you do have an upcoming show actually.
Yes.
I saw that on your
Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to invite people? I mean, you're opening up for someone. Mm-hmm. But if you want to, tell people
for sure. Davis and James, they are lovely people, lovely musicians.
They played at Guild, actually.
I was going to say, I think they have. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like just really beautiful folk music, and they just released their album, so they're having an album release party. And they invited me to play, which is really nice. So it will be a chiller set. I won't be bringing in like crazy punk because it's it's a small intimate room. And I'm just going to play acoustic for that one. Actually, I don't play solo a lot these days anymore. So it's kind of like, it's so funny because like having a band has always been a goal of mine. But now that I play with a band so much, when I do a solo show, I'm like, oh, that was actually like, kinda it's just nice too, to have like the option to do either or.
Yeah.
So for this one, I'm going to play it solo. November 17th at 240 Northern is like literally the name of the place, but also the address.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's 240 Northern. apparently it's super close to Long and McQuaid. I still haven't been there yet. What time does it start? I think it's 7 PM. Tickets are $20 in advance and $25 at the door. I have a ticket link in my Instagram bio. And then, I don't know if this podcast is going to be out before then or not, but
that's a good question.
Yeah,
maybe
November 17th.
Yeah,
no, okay, well there we go. So you missed it was amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was unbelievable.
So but you should listen to Davis and James, they're amazing. But I guess when this comes out, I want people to come to that show January 20th. It's going to be at the Cobalt. I will have my band with me for that.
Nice.
And it's just going to be like rock and it's going to be so fun. And at that point, I will have the ticket link in my Instagram bio.
Nice.
And you can always message me if you have questions and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of, that's what I'm really excited for. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Would you like to leave your tags as well?
Oh, sure. Okay.
Your social media tags.
Yes. So I'm on Instagram is the one I use the most. And so that's just B.Kara. So the letter B, for Bateman, my last name, and then .Kara. So that's my Instagram handle. Yeah, that's definitely my most used. Otherwise I do have, you know, Facebook, a Facebook page, and that's at Kara Bateman Music. Mm-hmm. And then I have, TikTok, and that is also at Kara Bateman Music. Excuse me. And then, but I don't really use TikTok that much. Like I'm pretty sporadic. Maybe I'll get better at it soon, but I'm pretty sporadic with that. Yeah. The biggest one is like Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to get better at TikTok as well.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. It's a lot of time online. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. YouTube. I have YouTube. That one doesn't have a handle yet, I don't think. Because I need more followers to be able to. So if you follow me,
that please. Yeah. That video has like 3,000 views. So like the one of
that was exciting.
Spin.
Yeah,
and then you have a song that has 100,000 streams.
Oh, that's on Spotify. I was like, I do on YouTube.
No, when did that happen?
Yeah, I was like, what? No.
I mean, I'm sort of not surprised. I feel
thank you.
Does sound like something that is in like.
Thanks.
In your cards.
Yeah. Thank you.
So yeah, thanks. Hopefully, people after this, you know, go check you out.
Yes.
And start supporting you and listen to your music.
Yes.
And just get people to tell to your music.
Yeah.
Or rock out.
Town.
Yeah. Yeah. punk out. And,
Oh my God. So fun. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's been so fun.
This is really fun.
Delicious.
Right? It's really nice.
Highly recommend
to
everyone. Where's the camera? Here.
Oh, there.
Buy it.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really should. Yeah. This was really fun.
Yes.
I'm really happy that we now know each other from here.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to listening to your next album. So
thank you. Thanks so much.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So cheers.
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 Yes.
Yeah, thanks.